All right, 30 minutes away from our Jiffy Lube recap from the Pick'em last week. Dave was perfect, but was he perfect with all wins or perfect with all losses? If it was wins, you didn't beat him. If it was losses, everybody may have won. We'll find out coming up at 8:30. Spirited conversation, though, to end the last hour. That was fun. Lots of feedback on the text line. We always love that. You can call in, too.
Jiffy Lube text line, 44-1140.
Yep.
And the Fire Wings hotline, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140.
Speaking of Jiffy Lube.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to tell the fine folks what Jiffy Lube is responsible for next week? Is it time?
You're the boss. It's up time. To you. Is it?
It's time. We're lucky. We thank Jiffy Lube. They're wonderful. And Jiffy Lube has been a great supporter of this show, but certainly of the station as well. Next week is the start of the NBA season. Mm-hmm. And it's a big deal. I think it's going to be a magical 35th year in Sacramento for the Kings. And we're hitting the road.
Yes,
we're
going
to Phoenix, thanks to Jiffy Lube. Our Jiffy Lube road trip for the season opener will be in Phoenix. We'll have coverage out there. Grant and Doug obviously will be there, but we'll be there as well. And for the season opener in Phoenix next week.
That is fantastic. That's we'll be there. Great. We'll be at shoot around. We'll be at practice. We'll be any place there's availability.
We're playing.
We are actually going to check into the game.
Yeah, so take the Suns. Mm-hmm. We're going to lose game one for the Kings. And now we could say we because we're playing. And but then the Kings will win the next 81.
Yes.
So
1,000,000,000%. 81-1.
Are you guys kind of a little mandate action here?
Mandate. Oh, mandate.
Yeah. Two words.
Well, you got the same thing I did at first. Like it was mandate.
Well, it is mandated that you go.
We chose to go. I mean, that was a great idea. Jay's, you know, we'll be. Have we traveled before? We have.
Yes.
Training camp, right? San Diego?
No, I didn't do that one. Oh. But. Santa Clara, San Francisco, right?
Yeah,
Super Bowl.
We're Super Bowl.
All there.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to be down there. We got a little place to stay.
Vegas before too, but
that's right.
We end up kind of
staying elsewhere. Yeah, we'll roar. We'll be we'll be down there. We're going out Tuesday
after
the show, and we'll be poking around different Kings peeps Tuesday afternoon evening. Wednesday we'll be down there doing the same, and then the game, and then we'll do the show Thursday morning, both from our sister station in Bonneville, Bonneville sister station in Phoenix, and then back here for Friday's show.
Yeah, and the home opener on Friday. So Kings basketball is almost here. They did play last night.
Yep,
they did win, which was fun. For those keeping score at home, but I don't like that Fox injury. I don't think it's too serious, but left the game with a lower back injury and would be surprised if he played tomorrow.
Oh, I cannot imagine he plays tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think half the team's not going to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and that's fairly normal. It's like if you get a scab on your ankle, you're not playing. You know, that's just everything's going to be ready for, there's really not much more to get out of this.
Yeah, and the way the game went last night, Dave, I could picture this being a pretty similar and familiar box score throughout the year. Maybe not scoring 128 every night, but Buddy 23, Bagley a double-double, 22-11. Then you get to Fox with 14, Bogey 16, Holmes didn't miss a shot, he had 11, Yogi Ferrell had 10. I think there'll be a night-to-night basis where, who led the Kings in scoring? That was Fox tonight. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was Buddy. It was Barnes. It was Bagley. It was Bogey. I think this team could have 4 to 5 guys averaging north of 15 points and maybe not anyone at 25, mm-hmm. but just a lot of guys that are capable of scoring.
I think that we're going to see, as you said, you're going to have a Bagley, a Fox night, a Buddy night. Buddy will probably lead this team in scoring.
But I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But then honestly, if you asked me who would be second, I'd say it's probably going to be between Fox and Bagley.
Yeah, I think it'll be Bagley, I'm picking.
Okay, so we go Bagley, then probably Fox, then Barnes, then Dedmon.
Maybe, I wouldn't be maybe Bogey. Bogey is fourth.
Yeah, fourth. Ahead of Dedmon. Wait.
And ahead of Barnes.
And ahead of Barnes.
Well, I mean, like last night, Barnes was fine. He did nothing wrong, 7 points. But it's not like he had a bad game. I think he's going to have some nights where he has 20 and other nights where he is in the single digits. I think Bogey will constantly be in that 12 to 20 range.
I think so. If we get a healthy, rested Bogey. And
which sure looks like we have right now.
That's the point, is that it sure looks like we have it right now.
Okay.
But at some point during the year, is there going to be a nagging injury? Is there going to be this mysterious disappearance? Is there going to be a slowdown? And is this going to be a thing throughout his career where Bogey is so loyal and so big on his home country and international play that is this going to be a constant? I think we find out a lot of these answers this year. Is this going to be a constant drag on his NBA contributions? And at some point, are the Kings going to have to say to him, hey, listen, we'll give you this money, but, dude, we need you to take a summer or two off. Like, it's not going to be this summer.
Right.
It's not. This is the Olympics. This is what it's all for. But do you really need to play every summer?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to make the team, dude. So, like,
you're fine.
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, but, and we need you here.
Right. And by the way, we appreciate the loyalty, but your international team's not paying you anything.
Right.
You're working for free.
Yeah.
We're paying you everything.
And we have all the risk.
And we have all the risk. Yeah. And they need to draw that direct line. And I think we'll have a lot of those answers to see if we do get, I don't need him to play 82.
Right.
Are we going to get 72 plus out of him? If we do, I'm happy.
And if you don't have Bogey, you have Yogi. And if you missed this from last night, here's the treat that we played earlier today.
Here's Yogi from the corner for three. Are you ready, Napes? Are you ready, Napes?
I'm ready.
Yogi.
Farrell.
112-96, Sacramento. As Yogi gets his second from distance. Nice response by the redhead.
I didn't need a warning. I was just waiting.
You were ready.
You know, for a moment, I thought, is Grant not going to do it? Like, there's a slight right. pause, and then Grant went for it. Like, he went in. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Yogi.
Crickets. I'm not doing it.
No. I'm not, G-Man. Not tonight. And then he went for it. That was great. That was fun.
I thought it was fun. I think that's something we should be hearing throughout the season. And I think both G-Man. Somebody asked me yesterday if the dandy meter was polished off and ready to go.
I don't think I heard it yesterday.
No, it's not. I said because I think Grant puts away the dandometer, but I know it has been polished. It's ready to go for full dandosity this season.
Do you so? Obviously, I'm working more of the games in radio, and then here, if it's a road game, so I hear G-Man all the time. I don't always hear Grant and Doug. Can you sense when it's coming?
Yes, when the dandy's coming? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. Generally, it's so.
Is it a second half dandy?
It's always a fourth quarter dandy.
Okay.
Always a fourth quarter dandy. Generally, final 6 minutes, if not final four. I would say probably, if I had to guess, the average time throughout the year that the dandy is put out is somewhere probably around 3.5 minutes remaining.
Okay, and it's got to be a two-possession game.
Got to be a two-possession game, absolutely. And generally what will prompt Grant to do it will be, let's say, like each team makes two consecutive three-pointers back-to-back-to-back.
Okay. Good energy.
And then you'll see it, like, slow down at the half court, and Fox will be pounding the ball, and it's 92-92 or 102-102 with 3.5 left, and that's where Grant goes, and we have got a dandy here at Golden 1 Center.
But it can't be Fox going for 40 and it's a 15-point lead because that's just Fox.
It's not a dandy.
It's the teams.
Yeah, it's not a dandy. That's King's blowout.
Okay.
You know, and the other way around. You can't do that.
And one guy having a dandy game, but it's the teams.
Exactly. And generally, if the Kings, let's say, are up 15 and then the other team goes on a 12-0 run and cuts it to three, that's not a dandy. But if the other team's up 15... And I'd love for Grant to be listening right now and grade how close I am. I think I'm pretty close. If the other team's up 15 and the Kings cut it to three and there's 3.5 left, we've got a dandy.
Yeah, because it's the Kings doing it.
And then there was a thing last year where we actually started keeping records because here's the problem with a dandy is that it's a close game. It could go either way.
Yeah, for sure. And the Kings, I know, had to lose some of those.
They did, and it was rough. And at one point, I think they lost three dandies in a row.
Because
when he calls out the dandy, I put out the dandometer with the sirens and all that on Twitter.
And then you want to ban it. We were talking curses earlier. Right. If you lose three in a row, stop it.
Yeah, but they came back. In fact, this year, I think we should do an unofficial. In fact, I think the listeners can help out, too.
Okay.
I think for those watching on television, I say we keep a record of dandies and see exactly what it's at. Here's the other problem. That's my favorite thing, and I love keeping track of it. But I had the same issue when Jerry Reynolds used to say value the ball, because that was like an early drinking game for us back in the early 2000s. The problem is that it became such a thing, and people got so addicted to hearing it, and when they didn't hear it, they got really pissed, and then Jerry stopped saying value the ball.
They just used different ways to say
protect the pumpkin, stuff like that. I don't think Grant's influenced by any of that, but Grant would never do it if it wasn't natural, and I just don't want it to be such a huge thing. And people really got on board last year. So it's like, get on board, but also don't tag him on Twitter.
Yeah. Just keep it our secret.
Right, just keep it our secret.
Yeah. All right, also, last night we had baseball. I love to play this game for you. This one might be a difficult one today, Dave. Guess whose final call? Is this the Washington Nationals or the St. Louis Cardinals? This might be the toughest one we've ever had. I'm going to start with you tell me which one you want me to start with.
Wait, which team?
Yeah.
I don't want you to tell me. I want you.
Oh, yeah.
I want to guess.
I just ruined the old game.
My favorite thing is to get you to guess which team it is. Which one do
which
you, want,
one
me
do
to
you want me to start with? But see, you can tell me which one and you won't know. No, okay. Here okay. we go. I'm starting with this one.
This one.
The pitch. Swinging a high fly ball left field. Playable for Soto. Moving into his right. He is there. He makes the catch. And a curly W's in the books. The Nationals beat the Cardinals 8-1. They go up 3-0 in the National League Championship Series. Bang. Some guy the fireworks.
Yeah. I still don't know what that last line is. Some guy has fireworks. What is he saying? I'm like,
Bang! Zoom guy the fireworks!
Wait, bang, zoom what?
Championship Series! Bang! Zoom guy the fireworks!
Zoom guy the fireworks?
Okay.
I don't know what he said.
I told you this is the most difficult one. You have a guess on that? Who that might be?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. They gave it away.
Well,
I think they did. I don't like it when they give it away. They did that the other day. The fact that he used the curly W tells me that's the Nationals call.
Well, you have to hear the other one.
Okay.
This could be the Nationals
as
well.
Okay.
Swinging a high fly ball in the left field, and that's going to do it. Catch is made. The Nationals win this game. They're 3-0 now in this series, the best of seven. And they win this game tonight, 8-1.
Okay, that was the Nationals.
See?
high fly ball. Wow. I guess they won.
Well, the Cardinals say they're not done.
Oh.
There is no concession speech being written. You know,
well,
this is a team that can absolutely win 4 games in a row. And clearly we have to start tomorrow.
That actually was the Nationals manager. No. they're in trouble. 3-0. The first 2 games, Dave, the Cardinals pitched so well, yet didn't win. Last night, not so much. And then Strasburg was absolutely amazing. 117 pitches.
Right.
But they did win, and they're up 3-0.
I said this earlier for those who weren't listening or getting up. Steven Strasburg, a lot of people, I think one of the first things they think of with Strasburg is arm issues and having his pitch count and innings and all that back when he broke into the league. Now, obviously, he's gotten past that. He's pitched over 200 innings one other time other than this year. This year, he led the majors in innings pitched. So I don't know that it's the smartest move in the world to have him go 117 when you're up 7-0 in the sixth inning. They put him out there and let him finish the seventh. Now, the counter that many people have said, and it's very valid, he's going to get a week off. But I've always wondered of the science of, is it about pitch count or is it about pitch count, pitches above a certain point? In other words, does pitch 3 have the same effect on your arm as pitch 113? I don't believe it does. I think the danger zone goes, the most dangerous pitches that take the biggest toll on pitchers are pitches that are above 90, above 100, and I think it gradually gets higher. The more tired you are, the more you're pushing your arm, the more damage short and long term you can do to your arm. So I'm going to keep an eye out and pray this doesn't happen, but now all of a sudden that's in my head. If the Nationals make the World Series, and it certainly looks like they will overwhelmingly, how is Strasburg going to perform there? Are there going to be issues, whether it's physically that we know about, or is he just going to get shut? Let's see how he does in his next, because he's got what? He's got probably at least 2, possibly 3 more starts or 3 more appearances. We'll see.
Yeah, they play game 4 today, so they can end it. It would be in their best interest to do it. Obviously, it's only happened once. The Red Sox have come back from a 3-0 deficit to beat the Yankees, but you just think about where the Nationals were. They're in the wild card game, and we brought the guy, Gresham, from the Brewers.
Yeah.
You know, I think that game would have been tied, but he makes an error to give them the lead, and they win the game. They're down 2-1 to the Dodgers, have to win a game 5 in L.A., down in that game, and then now they're just cruising.
This is what happens in baseball.
Man.
It happens all the time. Not every year, but a lot of the time. Jason, we're talking a lot of deep baseball stuff, and I appreciate that, but I think you're with me a little bit here, along with the texters. We're getting a lot of guesses as to what that announcer said, and I think that's really what we have to solve. Now, we've got a couple that say he said, bang, zoom, go the fireworks. We have a boom goes the dynamite, so goes the fireworks, and some kind of fireworks. Can we see again maybe what he said?
Yeah.
Is it bang, zoom, go the fireworks?
Let me see here.
The pitch. Swing at a high.
I'm going to have to get to the end. Here we go.
Okay. Championship Series. Bang, zoom, go the fireworks.
That's it.
I think it's
well
it.
Well done, Texas.
Wow. I couldn't hear that at all. I and then the second all. It's framed.
That's exactly what you hear. The dress is yellow. Yeah. That's exactly what you hear. As soon as they said
Laurel.
It. Laurel. Exactly. And props also to the texters for hearing. We're hearing this firsthand through our very expensive headphones. They're hearing it through their radios, perhaps in HD, but still. And they nailed it.
Good. Chip Series! Bang! Zoom go the fireworks!
There it is.
Okay.
There it
zoom.
Is.
Curly
That's
W.
Exactly what it was.
And
Curly
yes,
W.
That was the Nationals.
That was the, was it?
Yes.
The other guy was just, man, 1-2 pitch. It's a fly ball. It was like, who's that one comedian that only, you know,
oh, Stephen Wright?
Stephen Wright, yeah. Yes. It was like Stephen Wright doing play by play.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, okay.
I was speed reading the other day. Ran into the bookmark. Is he still doing comedy?
I think he is. I think he is. There is a little bit of the late, great Mitch Hedberg to him, too, which yeah. is fantastic. What was it? Somebody asked me if I wanted a frozen banana. I said, no, but I'd like a regular banana later or something like that.
Most accidents happen within 5 miles of your house. So I moved. I mean, it's just...
And I know. It's so stupid, but it gets me half the
I
time.
Laugh every time I hear that guy. I haven't heard him in forever.
Well, now we got another series going on, though.
The American League Championship Series. Nervous for today. Gerrit Cole. I mean, he has been crazy good.
Yes.
Severino's really good, too, for the Yankees. But it's like, I mean, it really might be one of those where the Yankees strike out 15 times, but do they hit
right.
two home runs? I mean, is that that's what they're probably going to need. That's been a great series so far, and it's only 2 games in.
I think, to put it in perspective, Gerrit Cole's run isn't necessarily Hershiser-ish.
Yeah.
But it's not that far off.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Just what the texters think he said, which is not right.
No, guys, we already got it.
Yeah.
A lot of people comparing the Nationals to the 2010
that's fair.
Giants.
That's fair.
I think that's a great example.
With good pitching, and then, they're dangerous.
Right. And they're not a team that people were thinking beforehand would make that kind of noise. But how many broken record? Goalie in hockey, pitcher in baseball. And when you have two pitchers that are hot, look out.
Yeah. All right. And then last night as well, to kind of wrap up our three of our biggest stories, Monday Night Football, we did really get a good game. It was fun. It was entertaining. But a lot of it hinged on this play late in the game.
A-Rod shotgun takes the snap. Lots of time. Looking around. Scrambles right. Steps up. Penalty marker down. Throws left side of the end zone. Wide of the mark.
I got a feeling they're going to get holding called here in the offensive backfield.
Oh, if it's holding, we're going to move from chip shot to not so much
hands,
chip
hands
shot.
Hands to the face. Defense.
Yes.
Number 90. Five-yard penalty from the previous spot. First down, Green Bay.
You doubter, Rock.
Well, illegal hands to the face by Trey Flowers. Second time he was called. He's never been called on that in his career. Set up that interesting gambling situation, certainly at the end of the game, where the Packers were just let the opportunity for the Lions let them score. They chose not to, squatted down at the about the 2-yard line, expired the time, kicked the game-winning field goal. Did impact the over-under, did impact the point spread, might have impacted our pick 'em challenge coming up. But just, Dave, I think the overall narrative, despite the betting numbers here, officiating again. Ugh. And the league, it is a perception, it is a problem, and a lot of people are commenting on how difficult it is to watch when the games are impacted this way.
Well, to your point about the betting, we talked about that earlier. The line was anywhere from 3.5 to 4. It was 22-20. It would have made it 27-22, which would have been a 5-point assumed Packer victory. So that money switched hands. The over-under was 46. And the final score being 23-22, that's a 45-point combined score. That's the under.
Touchdown changed
Touchdown
that.
Changes it. So if you had the Packers in the over, you're not feeling too great. I think a storyline, because we're talking about that, we're talking about the referees, a lot of these bad calls, there's a lot of stuff to get into. I think because the Packers won, one storyline that's getting absolutely buried is the fact that, man, Aaron Rodgers needs receivers. there were so many drops. There was the, and I get the pass was a little behind the kid, but off the face mask.
And it tips up for the pick.
It was a comedy last night at one point where you got to think Aaron Rodgers thinking to himself, just,
there's one he dropped to Jimmy Graham, who's been a great receiver in this league, tight end slash receiver. Perfect spot in the end zone. It was a sliding catch, very catchable. He dropped it. He had so many guys drop big passes, yet they won. And I still don't know how good the Packers are.
I don't either.
But you know, they're 3-0 in division.
They
and
are.
That is humongous in what I think is the best division in football.
I completely agree. I think when you look at, now, by the way, shout out to Alan Lazard. That kid who was a beast in college just for a smaller program came in and really, and there's a story out there that Rodgers actually lobbied for him to be in the fourth quarter. There were obviously injury issues with the Packers. But yeah, to your point, I don't know how good they are. But they're 5-1 and 3-1 at home.
Yep.
But the Eagles went and beat them. And then the Eagles just lost to the Vikings. You know, again, we're doing math here. We really don't know. That's what's, it's a great season. I don't know who the class of the NFC is, and I don't know who the second best team in the AFC is.
Right. We know who the best is.
I know the Patriots are great, but even that has an eensy little asterisk on it. Their quality win is against the Bills. Are the Bills good? We think they are. Record says so, and they beat them by 6 points. Everybody else the Patriots have played sucks. They suck.
But I think, you know, we do this game. If we gave everybody money,
right,
go bet on an AFC winner, most of the money's landing on the Patriots.
Mine is too.
Ask the NFC. We're getting a lot. That's spread around. Because the NFC, you want to say it's the Niners? Fine. Is it the Saints? Is it the Seahawks? Is it the Packers? In the end, hey, teams could finish hot. Maybe it is the Cowboys. It doesn't look like it today.
Right.
Maybe it's the Eagles. Doesn't look like it today. But it's not decided today.
And we're only 6 games, for some teams like the Niners, 5 games into the season. We have no idea. You're looking at the Packers at 5-1, the Saints at 5-1, but you got the Bridgewater Breeze thing going on. You've got the Niners and Seahawks combined 10-1, and then there is such a drive. If you actually go to the standings, it's fun to do it, then you click conference. You have one 5-0 team. You have 3 5-1 teams. You have 2 4-2 teams. And then it's all 1-5 to 3-2. Just nobody's out of it.
Right.
Nobody's out of it.
And it's when you check in on a team. If we're taking a poll on Carolina after 2 weeks when they're 0-2 and Cam's banged up, it's like, well, they're probably out. They've won 4 in a row.
They've won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
And Cam's out. They're 0-2, and they go Cardinals. And by the way, Cardinals, Jags, and Buccaneers are 3 of those wins. Okay, fine. Yeah. They went into Houston and beat the Texans.
Right.
And really,
Kyle Allen.
With Kyle Allen.
Yeah,
so,
who's this guy? Who's quarterbacking?
I think if you're the Panthers, you're looking at this and you're going, okay, well, we've got that decision to make with Cam Newton when he comes back, and Cam will get put back in. But they've got a real interesting situation where they can go, all right, do we let Cam go and use this money?
Yeah.
And we build our future around Kyle Allen and Christian McCaffrey. That's a nice little two-person core right
there.
Sure. We haven't even gotten to the rest of their team.
And then a lot of people look at point differential, the difference. Niners are number one. Minnesota's two.
Yeah.
So, like, when they beat you, like, Minnesota can really be on. So, it's going to be fun rest of the NFL season, but we had a good one last night. All right, we'll recap the picks from last Friday, our Jiffy Lube Pick'em Challenge. How did Dave do? We'll address that. Oh, no, that's next.
Is that next?
Yeah.
Oh, prepare.
Yeah, that's next. I'll drive. Talk about rabbit hole. I spent the entire break reading Stephen Wright quotes. And then I just was practicing and talking.
Were you?
Yeah.
Like the play-by-play guy for the Cardinals.
Yes. I went to a restaurant that serves breakfast at any time. So I ordered French toast during the Renaissance.
Jeez.
I haven't heard him in forever. I wanted to live to... I intend to live forever. So far, so good. Is he still doing work?
I think he is. Maybe even
he's still with
February?
Us.
February?
Yeah.
Let me... I'll do a quick... since we don't have anything else to do in this segment.
Oh, well, we do.
I'll do a... quick check. Let's see. Stephen Wright tour dates.
I mean, usually you just see comedians around just in different spots. I haven't seen him in forever.
If you have some time, you know, we're going to Phoenix. We could also later this month. Oh, I'll be out of town. So November 9th, we'll go to the TD Garden in Boston.
Oh, okay.
to see him perform. He's at the Ridgefield Playhouse October 27th, the TD Garden November 9th, the Flynn Center for the Performing Arts. Hold on a second. He's at the Florida Theater, the King Center for the Performing Arts in Melbourne, Florida. He's in Concord, New Hampshire, Burlington, Vermont, Boston, Massachusetts at the TD Garden. One of these things is not fitting. That's a basketball arena. That's got, you know, I'll tell you, Jason, that's got to be part of a bigger show. As much as I love Stephen Wright, he's not selling out the TD Garden in Boston. Oh, it's the Comics Come Home Tour is what it is.
Okay.
2019, starring Dennis Leary, Bill Burr, John Mulaney, and Stephen Wright.
Wow, that's actually a fabulous show right there.
Very good show.
Man.
That's why that didn't seem right to me. So get your tickets right now.
Stephen Wright to you.
You can get them as low as $77.
Okay.
Yeah.
Be a fun show.
Yeah. Let's talk more about comedy shows.
No, let's not.
Meant through the years to us.
Let's get to that perfect week that Carmichael Dave had. So
yes.
I'm assuming that you're playing mind games here. Let's see how you did with our Jiffy Lube Pick'em Challenge, our recap. Dave, do you trust me?
Do I trust you?
Yeah.
Oh, I trust you.
Okay. Let's see how'd it go last week.
Well, I told you I was perfect.
Yes, you did.
And I said on Friday, I said, this is the week I'm going to give the listeners a bit of a break. You know, I'll tell you this much. If you just pick the right week, I could have made people a lot of money.
Okay.
First week went undefeated.
Yeah.
What are we in? Week?
I don't know, but you haven't done that since.
Well, no, I haven't gone undefeated since, per se, but I have not gone undefeated since. Does that make sense?
Nope.
So I haven't gone undefeated since the first week we did this.
Yeah.
Right? I have not. But also, I have not gone undefeated. It's just stuff I used to do to my kids all the time. Just put different emphasis on different words just to confuse them. It's been a rough go. The games that we chose, the Packers, that line was Packers by 4.
Okay.
The Chiefs, that line was Chiefs 4.5.
Okay.
The Rams, that line was Rams 3.
Okay.
So we'll start with the Packers. I took the Packers because, honestly, I thought that was the right pick. And I got screwed, and so did everybody else. I think technically I won that because he should have scored. Like, Jay, are you with me?
No.
Okay. So Jay agrees. Like, I really got screwed out of that. It ended up being a Packer 1-point win. So I guess we'll chalk that up as a loss.
Yeah, that sounds like a loss to me.
Okay. I also took the Kansas City Chiefs at home, favored by 4.5.
Okay.
I will also say this. Chiefs really should have won that game.
Not really.
Like, so they're only 4. I mean, they're 4-2.
Yeah.
Like, they were 3-1 before that.
They were.
And now they're 4-1. Now they're 4-2.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were 4-1. Excuse me. So I took the Chiefs there. So I guess we'll give that a loss. I think really my only true loss was Niners-Rams. I took the Rams.
After you tweeted, like, this is a team that should be considered a Super Bowl contender.
Yes. I took the Rams. And I'll tell you, look at all the we did over-unders, right? We have 61, 60, and 54 from our other contestants. My over-under was 42, and the actual combined score was 27 points, so I was the closest.
With the wrong team.
With the wrong team, though.
Yeah, that's a factor.
So we'll count that as like a half?
Nah, that's a loss.
Is that a
full loss? Yeah, that's 0-3.
So I told you there was a zero on one side.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at our contestants.
So everybody beat you, I hope. All they had to do was have one different.
Well, let's see. Justin took Detroit. That's a win. Justin took Houston. That's a win.
Super.
And Justin took San Francisco.
That's who reached out to you on social media.
Yeah.
Okay, 3-0. Way to go, Justin.
Thank you.
Steve took Green Bay. What a loser. Kansas City, loser. And the Rams, loser.
Oh, Steve, you just needed one.
And 61 points. So loser times 4.
Wow. Poor Steve.
JP took Kansas City.
Loss.
Took Detroit.
Beat Dave.
And took San Francisco.
Oh, blew out Dave. 2-1.
But
2-1.
Combined 60 points in that Niners-Rams.
It's a win.
Loser.
Nope.
And I should point out also Justin Marshall participated as
Jay
well.
Jay Mars.
Oh, is that who?
That's him.
That's me.
I had it written down differently. Sorry.
My mom, believe it or not, did not name me Jay Mars.
She didn't?
No.
Hey, quick question.
Sure.
Be honest. Okay. How do your parents feel about your nickname?
They'll call me it sometimes and it's super awkward.
Really?
And I'll tell them don't.
That's like, exactly my way too.
Don't do that.
No,
they call you Carmichael Dave?
No, my parents never, ever, ever call me Dave. But my cousin Sushila on social media last week said something. She was like, yeah, you know, and Dave, you've done this and that. I actually had to reply like, no, don't. That's extreme. It's very weird if somebody who's not in my family calls me David, but it's weirder if somebody in my family calls me Dave. Like, I cannot handle that. My mom never will. My mom will correct people, dude. She'll be like, I didn't name him Dave. I named him David. And if I wanted him to be called Dave, I would have named him Dave, but I named him David. Okay, mom, chill. Jay, Green Bay. So that's Jay awesome. Is a big fat loser.
Well, I'm just a small. I'm a small fat loser because they won.
Jay took the Rams.
0-2. Come on, Jay. We need one.
Idiot. And Jay took the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, wait a second there, buddy.
What?
Do we have to go back to the tape?
I've got it right here. Kansas City.
That says H-O-U.
Yeah, Kansas City. Right? No? Oh, are you taking – okay, so Jay won. Also, I'll give a little shout-out to Jay, too. His over-under on that game, 33 on the Rams Niners.
Nice.
33. Well, it ended up being 27. Jay actually won the over-under as well. So, just to recap, Steve, giant loser.
Dave. David.
David won the over-under contest, if you don't count Jay Mars. JP went 2-1. But Justin goes 3-0. So congratulations to him. Well done.
Do you trust me?
I do.
I would have gotten 1-2.
1-2.
Yeah, I would have the Niners.
You took the Niners as your one. Wow. Yeah. So you took Detroit.
Did you think that?
Wait, no, you didn't. Yeah.
Did you think the Niners Rams game was going to be a high scoring affair, or what would have been your over under?
I probably would have put that at 45 or something. Okay. 40. I don't know.
See, he's honest.
Yeah. But I would have picked the Chiefs, or I did in another thing, and then I picked the Packers.
Pick the Packers. So I got a decision to make this week.
Yeah,
because remember the first week I went 3-0,
right.
And I was we were 3-0.
Yeah,
and then I got called into by the Peace Squirrel.
Yeah.
Who had problems with what I did. I've really kind of taken it easy. But we're now in – we started this in week two. We're now, what, week six?
We've given away enough prizes.
I feel like we've given away enough prizes. Can I go back to – can I have another – is I'm just going to ask the powers that be. Can I go back to actually picking the win, and can we have another week where I can go undefeated? Because
– that's a question for you, because I'm starting to question whether you can.
Well, no. If you haven't noticed, like weeks like this, like it's almost – it's just as difficult to go 0-3 as it is 3-0. It's really –
you've gotten pretty good at that.
I've been really good at that. Think about it. Like this weekend, I challenge everybody. Try to go 0-3 this weekend and see how you do against the spread. It's very difficult. So I've now gone 0-3, I think, two of the last 3 weeks. And I went 3-0 in the fourth week, and we've only done this 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think I'd like to switch that around this weekend. And we'll be picking those games on Friday.
And we have both the Raiders and the Niners back in play.
Here's my question, and I know this is an executive decision by us. When Kings season starts, if we have a Kings game going on over the weekend, do we have the ability to – it's just NFL pick 'em, right? Or is it just pick 'em? I'm just wondering if there's a Kings game on Friday and the Kings are favored by 5.5 over the Spurs at home, and we have two local games and not really a clear-cut game of the week. Do we throw that in there? Can we throw the Causeway Classic in there?
I think when you go back to your powers that be and ask them if you can ramp up your picking ability, you ask them the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Say, I want some other games in here. And I'm going to really try this time.
Right.
All right. We still have to get to our Coors Light Cold Hard Fact. What do you have for us, Jay?
It's a doozy, I tell you. The Nationals are a win away from becoming the fourth team to sweep the NLCS since it went to a best-of-seven format in 1985. Of the other three teams, only the 1995 Braves went on to win the World Series.
Wow. Of all the teams, the Braves are the one that went on to win it?
And that's their one, right?
That's their one. That's weird. But that was, Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin.
Steve Avery, sort of.
Steve Avery. But, hey.
Mark Wohlers.
Steve Avery for a minute was nice.
Yeah.
That dude was nice.
Literally a minute.
Yeah. Like a year plus. I remember I very specifically remember watching those games on TBS, and it was Chip Carey and Chip Carey and who was the color guy?
Steve Stone.
Steve Stone was Steve Stone was Cubs. I thought
he did both at one point.
Oh wait, no, Braves.
Was it Skip Carey? Yeah, the Braves TV. Was it Don Sutton?
Don Sutton. Don Sutton. Yeah.
I would say Chip Carey's done Cubs and Braves. Well,
there
yes.
you go. So I think it was Skip Carey and Don Sutton. Excuse me. Don on color. And I remember them very specifically saying, you know, Steve Avery might be the best of this group.
Mm-hmm.
And for a minute, you're like, oh, wow, he really could. He's so young.
Yeah. Didn't work out that
way.
He
didn't get enough naps.
No, he didn't. No. All right, we'll take our final nap and come back with What's on Tap. That's next here on The Drive.
It's the end of the show, but it's the start of your workday. For a cold one, it's What's on Tap. Here's What's on Tap.
And we really do thank everybody for listening each and every day here. We thank you for making this a part of your routine. Hopefully you can check us out every day, whether it's on YouTube, on the KHTK YouTube page, our podcast after the show. Jay does a great job of putting that together. Any which way, you can check us out or live each and every morning, 6 to 9 here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Jason Ross, Carmichael Dane, Jay Mars back here. So Jay's, before we get to What's on Tap, his Coors Light Cold Hard Fact, I wanted to make sure I had this right. I looked it up during the break. That if the Nationals get that one more win,
yep.
that'll be their first World Series appearance.
Yep.
So if you were born since 1979,
mm-hmm.
it would be every team but Seattle.
Really?
Has been in the World Series. And if Washington wins today or in the next couple
sure.
days, 20 teams of the 30 Major League Baseball teams, 20 will have been in the World Series in the 2000s.
That's insane.
It's got the best parity.
It does. It really does. NBA, I'm pretty sure, is the worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
By far.
And then...
football's not bad. I mean, the Patriots
yeah.
have kind of hurt. But you have other teams,
a lot of
dipping
teams
in there,
too.
But, I mean, it's like, no, not the Padres. Padres.
Or hockey.
Diamondbacks.
Is.
They're all...
Hockey's
probably
right
up there.
There.
But, I mean, have 20 of the 30 in the World
That's
Series.
Fantastic.
Now, some haven't won it. Yeah. I mean, the Cubs changed that by getting... just
sure.
White Sox have a little, you know, an outlier. And everybody
the
has
The Angels.
One. Right.
I mean, even the I'm sitting here trying to remember. I know they were in it. I'm trying to remember the last time the Padres were in it.
98.
Was it 98?
Yeah, that Greg Vaughn. Did Greg get to 50 home runs, or was he? I know he's over 40.
I thought he got to 50.
Yeah, I got every team here. So, the drought now is, obviously, we're still talking about the Nationals, and the Mariners have never
yeah.
done it. The longest one besides that is now the Pirates. That's why I put 79.
Right.
82 for the Brewers. 83 for the Orioles.
Okay.
And then you're into the 90s.
Yep.
With the Blue Jays, the Braves. We mentioned the Padres.
And the Expos never made it. So that's the National / yep. Expos.
Yeah. And then the Mariners would be the only one that's never had made it.
Oh, Seattle. Yeah. Oh,
poor Doug.
Poor Doug.
Doug Christie's a big Mariners fan. If you ever tune into the afternoon show, Grant is merciless when it comes
know,
to Doug's
know,
Mariner
right?
fandom.
I know. Like, why?
It's just mean. It's like, he's picking on him.
What's he supposed to do? Switch teams? Because they don't. I respect that.
Right?
You know, like, it's easy to be a fan of a team that's in the. I mean, I'm a Kings fan. Trust me. Like, we all know this. It's easy to be a fan of a team that's in it constantly. It's the ones that are the fans of the Kings and the Mariners and the Padres and the Chargers.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the ones. Even as a Niner fan, like, I've seen many a Super Bowl in my lifetime. It's been a while. It also hurts, too, when, like, I'm Giants fanning on Twitter and I'm going after Dodger fan because they haven't won one since 89.
Hey, 88.
88, excuse me. And then, but then like a week later, it's football Twitter and I'm, and somebody's bagging on me for being a Niner fan. And I'm like, oh, that's cute with your one championship. Or it was a Bronco. I think it was three championships. And they're like, yo, your trophies have dust on them. And then all of a sudden I find myself fighting the completely other side.
And then you get into Kings season.
Right.
Oh, like, no. And you're like, okay, I'll mute myself.
Right. Yeah. Like, we don't really have. Who, Rochester? Yeah.
Hey, I claim that one.
Yeah,
I got the shirt and everything.
You and I are on opposite sides there.
I was so happy when Golden One put the 51 title banner back up because that was down.
I hate it.
At ARCO for years.
That's up. Honestly, I don't know that I've seen that.
Oh, yeah, it's up.
I hate it. And I hate that we have the gold thing on the back of our jersey that signifies a title in your history.
We have a title in our history, buddy.
I guess. Come on, man. Like, we're the oldest team in the NBA. Like, at some point, we're going to have a title.
Yeah.
What's
your point?
I'm just, I don't know. I think that titles, here's my completely illogical take. I think that titles should only count if they were won in the city that you're currently in.
No.
Unless you're like the Niners, and by that I mean San Francisco as the name, not the city you're in, because they're in Santa Clara now.
I'm not trying to be funny here. If OKC wins one, does Seattle count that? Like, will they do?
Well, the thing is, OKC counts Seattle. I believe they count. Yeah. They have the Seattle banner.
They do. They no, that banner's stored away. Banner is in storage.
So I know the story about like all the jerseys and stuff that are in that box.
That belongs to Seattle.
But does OKC doesn't even have like a replica banner hanging up?
They do
all
not.
Right. Well, that's
and
good.
I know if the NBA ever grants another team to Seattle, whether it's expansion or they literally get that history back.
Yeah,
that'll be weird.
Yeah, what the getting the history back?
Or? That and just even like if you were trying to explain to someone that's never followed basketball, the Bobcats, Hornets, Charlotte, New Orleans,
right?
Back to Bobcats.
That's weird.
Back to
Hornets.
What?
And now
the Hornets,
the like, current Charlotte Pelicans. Hornets also have the records, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right too. I think you're right. And then I think we're going to look back on the NBA not being in Seattle is going to be kind of a second cousin to the NFL not being in LA for so long. But I don't think they're going to have the same issues. No. Arash Markazi wrote a great article yesterday in the LA Times about why football is sucking so bad in LA.
Is there a constant theme?
The theme was the NFL abandoned LA for an entire generation. And now they're asking that generation to be into football, a generation that literally grew up without a football team in town, who grew up on fantasy football, and now all of a sudden you're asking them, and a generation that saw 800 different renderings of stadiums over the years while LA was being used as leverage for every single team. And now you put two teams there that nobody cares about the Rams anymore, and even less people care about the Chargers. The closest is them caring about the Raiders, as we talked about the other day. So I can't stand LA fan and they're lame and all that. Like, don't get me wrong, but it was a very logic-filled article. Like, I get it. You abandoned an entire generation.
Yeah, I think. Or go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I understand the Chargers. I really
right.
do. But there were a generation of people that loved the Rams.
Yeah.
And I know they were burned by them going to St. Louis, but they are back. I just thought the Rams have done better. I just thought they would have more attention.
When they exited after it was the 94 season, I believe. Think about it. Think if you were a teenager then. That's like 20 years that has gone by since, you know, the Rams came back. You're bound to have found a different team. And the likelihood of switching back to your childhood team after 20-something years of rooting for somebody else is not likely. Yeah.
And then maybe you're not putting your kids in that spot. Like, usually your kids follow you or do the exact opposite.
Right.
It's like, oh, my mom or dad loves this team. I'm with them. Or, no, I like the other team.
I think so. They left in 94.
After the 94 season.
Okay, so you have 22 years because they came back in 16. So, and you really don't really start figuring out your teams until you're 7, 8 years old, unless you're grandfathered into them like Jay was with the Dodgers. So you're really talking about 30-somethings that did not have a football team growing up at all, and most of them have had kids. To your point, it's like they just killed off an entire generation of fans.
Just so many people in LA, you would just think that just by the mass number of people, you'd have. I mean, the Charger one, I honestly do understand.
You also talked about the Chargers, too, and how people would buy season tickets, and the reason why you saw so many Steeler and Niner fans, and then I think the Packers play one of them this next week, and it's going to be even worse. So what they do is they buy the season tickets, and then they can make more.
Yeah, they sell them.
They pretty much make damn near their entire season off of selling just one of those games, and then they just get them for free the rest of the time. That's why you see such predominant, or another reason you see predominantly visiting team fans, because the season ticket holders, that's where they make all their money.
Yeah.
And to a point, that happens here sometimes. We've seen it. You know, when Golden One is packed with Warrior fan, or Golden One is packed with Laker fan, and I'm really split on that. Like, big part of me is like, come on, guys. Don't sell your tickets to Laker or Warrior fan. Like, what are you doing? Then on the other hand, I'm like, well, you've been buying season tickets to this crap product for like a decade plus. Get your money, dude.
Yeah.
Get your money. Like, I get it. Just get your money.
Well, the other thing they anticipated with the Chargers that just hasn't happened was, you know, playing. Is it Home Depot, or did they change the name of that?
Yeah, I think I know.
The former Home Depot Center in Carson.
Yeah.
Was they thought a lot of people in San Diego would still come up and watch the team.
Nope.
Wrong.
Yeah.
When they open, is it next season, the new stadium?
Yes. Supposed to be, yeah.
That thing is. You see that when you land up there, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, but
is anybody going to go?
Exactly. Well, what's on tap for today? A couple of baseball games, Astros and Yankees game 3, NLCS Cards and Nationals game 4. We do want to remind you to join Sports 1140 at Sleep First on Arden Way today from 4 to 5. We'll be giving away cool prizes, as well as you can nominate this first student of the week.
Sleep First student of the week. Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Okay. That's it for us. For Jay, for Dave, I'm Jason. Jim Rome is next.